In 2015 and 2016, the neonatal unit at the Countess of Chester Hospital in England experienced a shocking surge in infant mortality rates.
As authorities worked to uncover the cause of the tragedy, nurse Lucy Letby came under suspicion. Arrested three times over a period of 2 years, Letby now stands trial, accused of 8 murders and 10 attempted murders of babies under her care.
With allegations ranging from injecting air into babies' veins to using insulin to end their lives, the case has captivated the nation and sparked a fierce debate over medical malpractice and the duty of care owed to vulnerable patients.
Hear the full story on our new podcast, Nurse of Death, available wherever you get podcasts.
Search and press subscribe so you don't miss any of the chilling details in this shocking story. Search Nurse of Death right now and press subscribe where you get podcasts.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
We're talking with Clark Walton. He's the principal at Forensic Cybersecurity Expert Reliance Forensics. And we're talking about the digital forensic evidence that has been continuing to pour in the case of Brian Koberger, the accusations against him. Just the other week, a trove of more than 100 companies getting warrants for information regarding the footprint that he may have left with them in some way, shape, or form, or some of the victims as well. But Clark, what do you think we're going to find in that batch of information once it is revealed?
Well, I tell you what I tell all of our clients when they come and say, can you do X, Y, or Z? The answer is, it depends. I don't know. It's going to be really interesting. Our devices, you know, shifting from the other case 8 years forward now, our devices are constantly talking to the world when we're walking around. And when I say to the world, it may be to our mobile service provider. It may be to, think about all the apps just Google owns that people may have installed on their devices, you know, Google and Gmail and YouTube and YouTube TV and the list goes on. So, just one provider like that may have a substantial amount of information that, again, even if I pull a phone and extract it and I don't get data from a certain time period that I'm looking for, maybe I learned enough to know which providers I need to go talk to get some additional information and send a warrant out or something like that. In that particular case, I've seen some of the documentation that the allegations that the individual Koberger turned off his phone during certain periods of time and so forth. That's going to be an interesting thing to look at as well. If you piece together somebody's activity over a term of months or even a year, and you see that it would be very atypical for someone to have turned off their phone for a couple hours. I have to sort of remember myself to turn off my phone every once in a while.
Sure.
You kind of forget, like, wait a minute, this phone's been on for like 3 weeks straight. If it is found that occurred for some gap period of time, that's going to be, what's not there is important too. So I don't know, but I imagine there's going to be a large data set, for somebody. Let's assume somebody is an active user of their device and has all the social media accounts that people seem to have these days, which media indications are. Koberger had at least some of those. There's going to be a lot of data to comb through, potentially.
You'd be looking at a pattern, essentially, if his phone had turned off. I mean, we do know it turned off at the time of the murders. But it would be seeing does he every day or on a frequent basis turn his phone off at night when he goes to bed, right? Something of that nature. And if that's the only time that it's off or very rarely turned off, that in itself, not even the data, just the act of turning it off and registering as it not having a signal would be a pretty damning piece in itself.
Yeah, I mean, it's still circumstantial, but yeah, it's coupled together with other things that we've seen in the media, it would be, an important thing that a prosecutor would certainly want to, highlight to a jury.
What other things have stood out to you personally in this case that look very interesting in terms of evidence, or areas that we haven't heard about yet, that we haven't heard of what they found, that you are interested in seeing what data exists?
So, you know, one thing I'm interested to hear, and I haven't admittedly seen every document that's coming across the wire on the matter, but one thing I'm interested to see come down is going to be, you know, the type of work that I do every day. You know, some of that might be the cell tower analysis, and we've seen some of that come out in the preliminary court disclosures. But the analysis from, you know, we know Koberger has or had a cell phone, right? Because we know it was being, their cell tower information. The forensics from his devices are going to be very interesting. I mean, think about all the other, I'm thinking of several other cases I've seen in the news recently where, you know, it was very quickly determined that someone was a person of interest because of Google searches that those people had done, you know, how to dispose of a body, how to poison someone without them, you know.
Sure. Yeah. The Brian Walsh case. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we have, I don't know that in this particular case, and there's been so much going on with so many different cases lately, apologies if I missed something on this one, but I don't know that we've seen the true forensics on his device or devices yet. And to be fair, that takes time. You know, many forensic labs run on somewhat of a backlog as it is. But given the high profile nature of this case, you would think this would kind of shoot to the forefront of some of those priorities. And so if and when that stuff does come out, I think it's going to be very interesting to see what it shows.
And that may be information that is already gathered, but just not released yet, or not going to be released until the actual trial, correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely right. I mean, I would think and assume that his mobile device might be secured somewhere unless he took steps to dispose of it. And it may have already been, you know, looked at or extracted or who knows. Mm-hmm. But that data, again, it takes time to process it. It takes time to look through it. There's so much data, even on one person's phone, iPhone these days, that I would anticipate they're going to be very careful about how they take the time to, you know, look through it, and certainly protect information that may, you know, be disclosed or need to be disclosed. Because what you don't want to do is have, you know, data released piecemeal in some way that someone could argue is misleading, or there's going to be personal data on that device that, to be fair to him, probably has nothing to do with any of this. Mm-hmm. You know, things that you know, other people maybe have sent him, or data regarding his parents or other people that is private or protected in nature. And you don't want this. So you can't just release the whole dump of a device either. That's not going to help anybody.
Sure. I mean, anything like that can be taken out of context, just like one could take seven words out of this conversation and say, look what they said. But without the context, right, you don't understand.
Right. You wouldn't do that, right?
I do it all the time. So you just wait. You're going to be saying crazy stuff by the time this thing airs. No, I'm kidding.
Great.
Now, in closing, really kind of off the topic of any of the cases we're discussing, it's something that's crossed my mind as this world continues to just get deeper and deeper with the abilities of what we can do to track and trace things as it evolves. I'm curious, in your industry, when you look to the future and you see, well, this is coming up down the road at some point, what are some of the other ways that maybe the public is not thinking of yet that will be very beneficial in the future to crime investigations in terms of data and tracking people beyond just our basic cell tower triangulation that we have right now and social media? Is there other things coming down the pike that you can see in the future that are going to be very interesting and beneficial for your field?
Yeah, it all comes back to what people are using at the moment. And so I've thought about this in the past. You know, if I had that kind of foresight, I would probably just go and invent the next thing people are going to use, right? And sell that to them instead of doing what I'm doing. But it all depends on and is dictated by what people are using. You know, we haven't seen too many cases, surprisingly. We've seen some, but not too many cases yet coming across, even with like TikTok, which is the last couple of years kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We have not seen very much yet in the way of, you know, if you've seen lately some of these images that are generated by AI, yep. what we'll call like deep fake type yep. images, I can foresee that being problematic, you know, in these types of investigations in the future. But, you know, what the next big thing is, I would look to, you know, what our teenagers are using now is probably what our adults are going to be using in a year or two. And then it all sort of is going to flow from there. But I can't tell you what that's going to be. I mean, people still are not, I don't think, quite have their minds around, you know, all the smart devices we've got in our homes, thermostats and, you know, Amazon Alexas and all sorts of other things. Netflix accounts. I had a couple cases involving Netflix accounts where, you know, you can log in and see where people are watching from and what they're watching and when they're doing it. Mm-hmm. And thinking about when you're using these things in the house that are convenient for you, the tracks you're leaving behind that somebody could later take a look at and say, oh, well, you know, they were here, they were there, those types of things. I don't know what that's going to be a couple years from now, but, you know, it's going to continue to evolve. And I mean, our business has evolved over the last 10 years in terms of what we're responding to. And we got to show up every day expecting the next thing, not knowing what it is.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Clark Walton, thank you for joining us. Always a pleasure to have you on and get your expertise in the world of digital forensics. If you want to weigh in on anything we're talking about, we have a phone number for that. You can call 24/7, 888-554-5537, or more conveniently remembered as 888-5-KILLER. Call it 24/7 and give us your thoughts and let us hear your voice on the stories we're covering for you. My name is Tony Bruschi. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of our coverage wherever you are downloading podcasts. You can get an ad-free version of it through Apple Podcasts. Stay with us.